You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Next time, you might want a bubble hoth.
And Daryl.
I have many, many stories to tell. Would you like to hear one? $9.95 per minute.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes, greetings and welcome to episode 110 of The Training Dummies, recorded on October 20th, 2015. My name is Daryl, and as always, I talk about video games on the internet. With me this evening is my bro host with the most, that would be Rob. How are you doing this evening, Rob?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm officially sick of football. But there's only like 2 weeks left, so it's all good. It was cold out there tonight.
You're not talking NFL, CFL, though.
No, I'm talking about taking my three kids to their practices and games five and six days out of the week. So,
well, then it's hockey after that, right?
No, football. That's all there is. Just football. One sport's enough. Fun. And with us this evening is a second-time guest, so a member of the exclusive club of return guests on the Training Dummies. Let's give a big round of applause for Mr. Matthew Rossi.
Can we talk now?
Matthew.
Yes,
I never know what to do. I never know what to do like when I'm introduced. It's always like, oh my god, now I have to think.
Hey man, like, thanks for making your second appearance on the show tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. We're going to talk about lore. I know last time we talked about warriors, and I have the feeling that will come up at some point because that's how it works when Matthew Rossi is talking about Warcraft. But
I don't know why anyone would say that.
I don't know.
It's not like I just spent 8 years writing about.
Right.
God, 8 years.
You're in a position though where this has become your livelihood. Is that like a dream come true, or is it just like pretty cool? Or
it's a job, you know, you do your job. The fun part is when you play. Like, I enjoy playing the game still.
Mm-hmm.
And I do enjoy writing about it. It's just a question of you have to be professional, you have to make your deadlines, it's your job. You have to always think about that first. Mm-hmm. The times when you get to like the times when it gets fun is like the weirdest, strangest times. Like, I'll never forget this, and this is a few years back now. This might even be Burning Crusade. I remember doing a dungeon, and there were two warriors in the run, me tanking and somebody else DPSing. And somebody in the raid was giving this dude, the DPS warrior, was just giving him unbelievable flack. Just about everything he did was wrong. And, I checked his DPS, and it was good. It wasn't like, you know, I don't remember the numbers anymore because it's been that long. But it was like, you know, he was like number two.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing fine. And finally, he quoted me at the dude. But he quoted me wrong the dude. So I'm like, and I don't go around saying, like, you know, I'm Matthew Rossi. I don't do that when I do, you know, you could be in a run with me and you'd never know. But finally, I couldn't take it. So after about 3 minutes of this, I'm like, first off, I never f***ing said that. Second off, if I ever did say that, all the times people have told me I'm a moron would be right. And third off, he's doing fine. He's in the gear he has. If the gear he has, number two is fine. Like, what's wrong with you? Oh my god! Shut up.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'm not entirely sure if the last time around we were doing the interview questions or not, but. I think it won't be too bad to go ahead and drop them in here. We can start off with where did you start playing, and what is your current main?
Okay. I started playing about a month after release. My wife was actually in the beta. She was actually in like the alpha, I think. And she was like, "You got to play this." Like, we weren't married yet. We were kind of still dating. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's funny because WoW is how we stayed in contact. We were separated for like a few months at that period of time, and WoW was pretty much how we kept in contact because she was up here in Canada and I was down in Seattle. So yeah, we did that all through like late '94 or early '95 until we got back together again. And as terms of what I'm playing now, I'm actually playing two warriors. Right now, both around level 90. I mean, at level, yeah, level 100? Yeah, we're level 100 now. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, this game is ridiculous sometimes. We're level 100. I have more than one level 100 warrior. I have three, actually. That's what's sad. One of them I raid with a group of friends, and the other I play pretty much just to see old content with and stuff. I used to raid, I was like raiding Heroic up until they switched the whole Mythic system and everything.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I burned out at the end of Siege of Orgrimmar. We were in that thing way too long, and Warlord's raiding hasn't really made me feel like I'm missing a lot, so I just raid when my friends raid. I just, you know, so I raid, like, once every so often, like, a couple, like, I mean, I do LFR and stuff, but in terms of active raiding, I wouldn't say I do more than once a week. I usually just go when they're going to go and they have room, which they usually do, because, you know, Flex, yeah. That's the great thing about Flex. At least now with Flex, you can do normal and heroic, and you can just, you know, you can show up whenever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice.
So, yeah, that's me right now. They're both Alliance. I do have a Horde Warrior at 100, but I don't play him very much.
Well, I guess no mainly one's perfect.
Mainly because the Horde story sucks. Horde story freaking sucks. I mean, it's disjointed. It's all over the place. And this expansion did them no favors.
The Alliance Garrison is, like, infinitely superior to the Horde one.
Well, I don't even care how the Horde Garrison looks. It's just that the quests aren't very interesting. It's like, you know, okay, great. We get to hang out with Thrall's dad. Woohoo. I actually thought Frostfire was a pretty good zone in terms of story, but it's got nothing to do with the Horde. I want to know what the heck happened after the whole Garrosh thing. Like, we got a whole new war chief. It's not an orc, and we did nothing with that. We did nothing with that story at all.
Mm-hmm.
The entire expansion, we didn't touch that story. Like, come on. That's a pretty big deal. The Alliance kicked in the door and removed your war chief. And granted, you helped. You were, like, practically holding the door open for them. But nevertheless, it's like, come on, guys. This is a big deal. Vol'jin is war chief. That's not... What is he doing as war chief? Is he, like... what's going on? To take the time away from that at that point. That's like reading a book, getting up to the point where, like, you know, and the bunker is breached and the warlord is defeated. And what happened next? We went back in time 30 years to an alternate world. What? what about that guy? You know, oh, yeah, he's there, too. He went back there, too. What do you mean he did? Huh?
Yeah, I voted for basic campfire, so...
Yes, well, I'm sure the campfire would have done a great job until it turned out that, you know, the pot he was heating betrayed him. No! All this time, I've held a lion's beer! No! Wait a minute, why are we heating beer? Who likes warm beer? No! Yeah, basic campfire story.
Nice. So what are you looking forward to the most for BlizzCon this year?
Oh... I still want to know if they're going to do a Diablo expansion or a new Diablo or something. Because, man, that one little panel by itself seems crazy. Like, you can't, it's time to do the expansion. What are you guys waiting for? Looking forward to that, hearing anything on that. I want to know more about Legion, obviously. I want to know more, like, I want to hear what the artifact weapons are going to be. Because if Fury Warriors don't get two-handed weapons for their artifact, then I am not playing Fury next expansion, and if that's the case, I might not play a warrior at all. I might play something else. Yeah. Titan's Grip is real important to me. I like Titan's Grip too much. It's the only thing warriors get that nobody else gets. They've pieced out all sorts of warrior abilities to everybody else. Paladin tanks basically have everything Prot Warriors have and better. Death Knights get to do the two-handed tanking thing that's like an arms warrior, but better. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets to the only thing warriors have that's absolutely unique to them is Titan's Grip. Even you can even argue they put in Gladiator's Resolve this expansion, and Gladiator's Resolve, in my opinion, is one of the big success stories of this expansion. It just plain out works and it's great, but it still isn't visually distinct. There's nothing about it that, you know, you can't tell that guy's not tanking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until you actually see him not tanking, but you know. It's still fairly rare, and a lot of people take the talent just for the bonus to defensive stance damage reduction. So I think it's cool, but it's not it's not as iconic as Titan's Grip. Titan's Grip is something that's it's different, distinct, and unique to Warriors. If they don't give Warriors a Titan's Grip artifact, then I am not interested. Like, and it would be, in my opinion, a huge betrayal of the class going back to when they brought it in Wrath.
You're talking two-handed Titan's Grip, full-blown. Why wouldn't they though? I mean,
I don't know why they wouldn't, but you know, they didn't support both two-handed and double-wielding Frost. They picked one and supported it. Fury has Titan's Grip and it has single-minded Fury. Right now, if you're a Fury Warrior, you can dual-wield two-handers or you can dual-wield one-handers, and that's totally up to you. And there's a very – like the DPS difference fluctuates throughout the expansion, but it's always pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually managed to balance them fairly well. Usually Titan's Grip wins in the end, but it's close. You can do either and you can raid effectively and it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't – I mean, are they going to give Fury two artifacts or in this case four artifacts? Are they going to make the artifacts variable size? I mean – there's ways around it. If the artifact was like one two-handed weapon that could split into two two-handed weapons or two one-handed weapons, there's ways to do it, but they didn't do it for Frost. They just picked one. So that mm-hmm. makes me worry. And if they just picked single-minded Fury because it's easier, then I'm not going to play a Fury Warrior because that's not the class anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's like single-minded Fury is a concession to people who liked it the old way. And that was, you know, two expansions ago, and quite frankly it's just not interesting. It's not any different than a rogue or a shaman or a death knight. It doesn't have any visual distinctiveness to it. Titan's Grip does. Titan's Grip is something nobody else can do. So I'm real serious about this. I want to know. I want to plan out my thing. If they make that decision, I'm not going to bitch and moan about it. I'm not going to complain. I'm simply taking myself elsewhere, probably to a death knight. I mean, to a demon hunter. Because I'm interested in Demon Hunters, man. I want to see what do they do with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've already kind of resolved myself to I'm probably going to be switching to a Demon Hunter for tanking, but I'm not. I want to play through it and at least level it up and see. You know,
I feel really bad for Warlocks who finally they've wanted to tank on Metamorphosis for how many years? And the Metamorphosis tanking comes to another class.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot more. I mean, besides that, I'm interested in seeing what are they going to learn their lessons finally? Like, this expansion has been a tribute to Blizzard not quite getting it.
Right.
And I don't mean to mean. I'm not trying to be mean about this. I think in a lot of ways, a lot of this expansion was actually really good, especially the leveling process.
Mm-hmm.
I liked leveling quite a bit. I think Garrison works really well for leveling. But I feel like they didn't know what to do at max level. It feels like either they just didn't get what people wanted or they just didn't have time to do it. And it just, mm-hmm. it felt really, I want to see that Legion is really fully fleshed. I want to see that Legion has a lot at endgame and knows that, I want to see that Legion is the expansion where they finally realize we're not going to overcompensate and just go completely the other direction and throw out the baby with the bathwater. Because that's what they did with Mists of Pandaria's stuff. Mists of Pandaria had a lot of good stuff and they tossed it all. Scenarios, gone. Daily quests completely gone. Did Miss have too many daily quests? Yes, it did. Does that mean we shouldn't have any daily quests, or we should have one daily quest that's just filling a bar? No, that's the wrong lesson to take.
You go from
0 to 10 to zero. Don't do that. Go try five. Just try five. I need you to bring it down a little. I don't need you to bring it down to nothing. I don't need you to stop short. I need you to just slow down. So I'm hoping they've learned that. I want to see what they've got. I want to see what they're going to do. We got a big info dump for Legion back in August,
mm-hmm.
but it was remarkably, it had a lot more information than I expected, especially since it was Gamescom. So it was a lot of information, but at the same time, it wasn't a lot of information because we don't know any specifics on any of the stuff they told us.
Right.
And really, the absolute last thing, the thing that I really think we have to see a beta. It has to be ready to go. the beta needs to be opening after BlizzCon, and it needs to, you know, we can't do 8 months till Legion.
No,
we cannot do. Cannot be done.
Well, I mean, we're well on our way to that right now. I mean, they.
I mean, from BlizzCon.
When did? Well, yeah,
I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about the last patch. Just. I'm not going to say suck it up because that's dismissive, but just gird your loins and get ready. You're going to have a year from the last patch dropping till the next expansion. That's going to happen. You're just going to have to take it because there's nothing we can do about it. This game is not coming out before like April of next year at the earliest. Mm-hmm. And that's with them, like, I don't know, performing black voodoo to get this to happen. Like, dark witchcraft will be used if this thing comes out in April. People will be changed forever. I'm relatively certain they're actually going to make you drink that green Kool-Aid that Gul'dan has been carrying in that cup for months, offering it to everyone he sees, you know. Hey, Drake, do you still have that cup? Did you bring
it? I
don't
think it's going to be out sooner than that. I really don't. And I don't think that it's going to be tied to the release of the movie either. But I do think
they control the movie. You know, they don't control when the movie comes out, so they can't tie themselves to it.
But I do think that this whole, like, we've kind of been ripped off this expansion, and there was a promise about faster content, more and more and more, and then we turn around and it's like, it didn't really happen, and now we, you know, the people who paid full price for, you know, for the expansion, we got two patches basically, and then off we go to the races. Here comes, you know, what's the next thing, and we kind of, I don't know.
I'd say the thing is I can't get too upset about the price of this expansion for one simple fact: the Blizzard hasn't changed their subscription price ever. Mm-hmm. And that subscription price is from 2004. You know, it's been 11 years. Their expansions didn't really go up that much, considering it's been 11 years. Expansion every couple of years, and this is the first one that they really jacked up the price on. I'm amazed that they managed to hold it down that long, many years. That being said, am I even remotely satisfied with the amount of content we got? No. I'm really not satisfied with the amount of story content we got, you know, since we're talking about lore today. Mm. No, absolutely not. I am outright dissatisfied with it. I won't say I'm angry about it because I don't get angry with them. I've been at this so long. I'm like, at this point, Blizzard is like some guy I know. Like, seriously, it's like, oh, it's that Blizzard again. he's rushing through the patches. Like, this was my biggest problem with Mr. Pandaria, was that Mr. Pandaria actually did release content really fast.
Too fast.
Like, we had patches like boom, 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 and then they had the year lull. It's like they learned from that, but they didn't realize that adding I think they added like a couple hundred people to the team.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that meant training all those people and teaching them what to do, and it didn't speed up development right away. And I think that that's the problem we're having right now, where I don't know how well along Legion is. I don't. I have no idea. I really hope that it's ready to go for beta. I'm hoping that the beta can be relatively short. Like, I'm hoping we can go like November, December, a little January, and be done with it. And then, like, maybe by February, have a game. This is my wildest optimistic prediction. This is not what.
Outlandish.
Yeah. When this doesn't happen, I will not even be a little surprised. But my hope is that they have finally gotten that team going, that they are firing, that they're all ready to go, and that this can be done quicker. Because I think we've learned, and I think that this expansion has really shown us, that people will not wait anymore. Because you know what? The player base of this game is all 10, 11, 12 years older than it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're not, they've churned through, you know how back a few months ago, Final Fantasy, the Heavensward thing, was talking about how many accounts they had now?
Uh-huh.
That they had 5 million accounts total. You remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Guess so. How many accounts World of Warcraft has had over its run?
Isn't it like 30 million or
100 million accounts. Gosh. Yes. Now keep in mind, the problem with using accounts in the first place is that if your friend dual boxes, two accounts. Yeah. If you started an account to play the game for like a week, said I don't like it, and moved on with your life, account. Yeah. Accounts are meaningless. It's active players that really counts. That's the really important thing. And it's really hard to determine what an active player is, especially like with a game like you know, that isn't doing subs. Like, you know, if you play once a week, are you an active player? Now, WoW at least has subs, so they can count subs. But again, the Asian market doesn't really do subs. So it gets really hard at that point. You start having to, you know, use the word sub when you don't mean sub. Mm-hmm. You mean they've got game time and they're currently using it. So I'm really hopeful that they've learned, that they've got themselves, you know, ready to go here. I don't think there's any chance this game will be coming out in February. That's insane. If that happened, I'd literally pass out. I would just fall to the ground and just quiver for half an hour. But I do hope that this game can come out so that people aren't going. If we look back at when the patch for 6.2 dropped, I think that was like late June, early July, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, so we've had it for about 5 months at this point. It's October, so we'll go July, August, September, October. 4 months, it'll be 5 months by BlizzCon.
Mm-hmm.
If another 5 months from BlizzCon, that's 10 months for the end of expansion. That's not terrible. Like other, we've seen that at previous expansions. BC was longer than that. Like, you know, so. Mm-hmm. But if it goes to, say, another, like, say it goes to 7 months, then we're looking at a year. And then if it goes to, like, you know, for every month it adds, it gets worse, you know? But that's the problem. And it's not necessarily the money issue for me so much as it's people's time. Because, like I said, the game base is aging. We're all older now.
Mm-hmm.
If you started playing this game at 15, you are 25 now. If you started playing this game when you were 30, you're in your 40s. You know, and people have lives, they have jobs, they have kids. That's one of the reasons for me that I don't think Blizzard really gets that raiding is cool and it's a lot of fun, but you know, we can't do what we did back in Molten Core anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The time is just not there. You know, you can't devote like 4 days at like 4 or 5 hours a day to doing something. If you can, it's because, you know, you are in one of the top 100 guilds and you've effectively made that your job. You know, if you are just somebody playing for fun, you can't do it. It's not feasible. And it's one of the reasons that I think, as much as I actually personally like LFR quite a bit, I think it's a cool thing. I think it was a little bit of a mistake, because with LFR, you don't have to raid at all. And with that there to give you the story beats, if you don't feel like, well, what's the point? I don't have to raid to get this stuff. It kind of gives people permission to do what they kind of have to do anyway, because your life has to come first. This is a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite games. I mean, I've been playing it for like 11 freaking years. I better like it. But at the same time, you know, the Garrison really got me thinking. It's like, you know, when this becomes a series of chores that I log in, like I log in on characters just to run through the garrisons to get gold, that's a problem. I shouldn't be thinking of World of Warcraft as a chore. I should be thinking of it as entertainment, as a release, as gameplay. And I think that I'm hoping that they won't do that for the next expansion. I'm hoping that they've learned, and like the class order stuff won't do that. Like that they've learned enough to not go completely the opposite direction. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's the thing, is Blizzard loves to put you on the seesaw and then jump up and down on it. I sound really negative here, and I don't feel good about that, because BlizzCon is a time to get excited, and I am excited. I'm excited. Overwatch just went to beta, and man, I'm excited to see people play that.
I'm super stoked about that.
Yeah, Hearthstone I don't care about. I'll flat out admit it. I don't play it. I don't care about it at all. My wife plays it and loves it, and I often feel really bad for her, because my God, this game can work her up.
It's just so RNG based that you just have to be okay with that.
Hearthstone can, like, really... I've seen people... Like, I've watched my boss, Alex, and Matt Lowe play on the stream, and, man, they get, like, they get frantic, and it's like, you know, I don't need this. I already have this in my life. I don't need a game to do... But you guys seem like you're having fun. That's great. But, you know, in terms of... I'll admit, too, they finally got me interested in StarCraft II. Like, I'm finally interested. Legacy of the Void has me interested in that game. So I'm interested in seeing if they announce what they're going to do with the StarCraft franchise. In general, I wish I could go. I mean, I've never gotten to go to BlizzCon. So
this will be my first one. I'm actually really, really excited about it. So not to rub that in, but
no, that's cool. All my coworkers go every year. I'm just always the guy who doesn't go. I will be sitting there watching it on video.
Well, we haven't even gotten to the lore part yet, but we've got a couple more questions here. I think you've kind of answered some of these just purely out of conversation. But what would you say is your favorite raid boss of all time?
Oh, of all time? Probably Algolon. And I'm talking pre-nerf Algolon, mm-hmm. when you had an hour to kill him and that's it. And part of the reason for that is that Algolon's mechanics were unique at the time. Like the weird, like, phasing you out of existence thing, because I tanked him. So he would phase me out of existence. We had to have another tank ready to pick him up. Mm-hmm. The weird, like, black holes and stars and all that stuff. It was just a unique experience. When my guild went after him, like, literally nobody on my server had killed him yet. And we went after him, and it was us and a horde guild were fighting for him. And we just barely got him. Like, we got him that week. Like, I think we killed him 5 minutes before the horde guild did. Like, they were pulling him when we killed him. So, like, they were in the middle of their thing when the announcement goes over Dalaran that we were the, you know, Celestial Defenders. Because that's, mm-hmm. that was... So that must have been horrible for them, and I don't feel bad at all. You know, F you guys. But, you know, I really liked Algolon. I liked those mechanics, and I liked the story of it. Like, you know, you went through the whole place, assembling the keys, getting in there, and then you have that whack moment where he shows up, and the whole place goes, like, into Doctor Who on you. And he's got his speech, and he's very, you know, oh, don't just stay over there, and I'm going to destroy your planet. It's cool. And you're like, no, I live here. All my stuff's here, man. And the best part about only being an hour was you couldn't spend 5 hours on it. You know, progression rating, that's the thing about progression rating that really started burning me out after a while was you spend hours on it. You do it and do it and do it and do it and do it. And after a while, the pulls, you know you're not making any progress. You know, mm-hmm. People get tired. People are getting grumpy. Some of us were there to begin with because we are who we are. And you're not actually making any progress, you know, but you keep doing it because that's the ethos. That's the mindset, is that you just keep doing it until you run out of time. And with Algolon, I loved it because, no, once we pulled, we had an hour and that was it for the whole reset. If we didn't get him in an hour, see you next week.
This sounds like our Archimonde attempts this last week.
Archimonde, old Archimonde for that matter. Those guys are. The Archimonde was a terrible fight. The original Archimonde.
Yeah,
I hated that fight so much. I hated it because one guy could wipe the raid without, like, just by not clicking a thing.
Yeah.
And it used to drive me nuts. In terms of vanilla, like, my favorite vanilla boss is always going to be Khatun. And not because it was a fun fight, because it wasn't a fun fight. No, it was horrible. But every time we did C'Thun, we had to take off all our gear, ride in there, and get destroyed by that beam, which just killed the whole raid. Before you could even pull him, he killed the whole raid. Then somebody would pop up, usually like some warlock would stone somebody. Someone would pop up, like usually a paladin, and res everyone in the room. So we could be in the room and not get killed by the beam just riding in. That's the old school raid thing in a nutshell. That's Blizzard's mindset right there. They were going to kill you before you even pulled him.
Mm-hmm.
And once you got through C'Thun, there was nothing. You were untouchable. You were an untouchable god once you'd killed C'Thun, because they could do any mechanics they wanted to you, but they couldn't break you. Because what could break you after that? The guy kills you before you even touch him. And you're still expected to fight him. Oh, all right.
Nice.
And a key component of winning this fight is to get eaten by the monster, and you're in his stomach, and you have to survive without any healer, the buff he puts on you, killing you, long enough to go kill the tentacle and get back out. Maybe there'd be people there with you to heal you. Maybe they're not, you know? It just... Wow. To this day, I still get sweaty hands thinking about that C'Thun fight, because, man, we did everything to get him down. And when we finally did it, it was such a relief. I don't think we killed him more than, like, 5 times. And we were like, nope, we're out. We're going to win the axe. We're never coming back here. You know, we got one guy his Adiesh things, and we were done.
Awesome.
Yep. Let's see here. What other question? What would you say is your favorite thing to do in-game right now?
Transmog runs. Kill stuff, get myself gear that I don't already have. And that's kind of hard.
How do you
that's
not? Why, yeah.
It's kind of hard. I'm on my main, the guy that I've been playing forever. That's almost impossible. Like, I even have all the legendaries I could possibly have. So that's what makes my new warriors fun, because I can go back to places and get the stuff that I already have on that guy, on those guys. I currently, like, seriously, I'm leveling warriors just to do this again.
There isn't any sort of, like, I have this gear on this class already, so I don't really need this.
Nope. For some reason, not only am I'm totally okay with even doing it on Death Knights and stuff. Like, I have a Death Knight that I do it on too. Like, even though it's, like, the same stuff.
Mm.
I even have Death Knight lookalike sets on my main. Like, I have all the Death Knight lookalike armor from like, Alduar and stuff on my main. So it's like, nope, don't care.
That's awesome.
Just love doing transmog. I love playing dress up with my armor-clad Barbie, and I flat out freaking admit it. That's all it is, man. Just playing. It's just playing dollies, and I don't care.
That's awesome.
A close second would actually be running around Tanan, because I do enjoy that. I'm not really caring, but I just run there.
I'm getting there. It's not my favorite thing, but, you know, it's something to do.
Rares are fun. Like Anne, who I work with, she kills the rares a lot. I do them less than she does, but.
Well, awesome. If you guys have any questions or comments or just want to find out how we're doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Hend_TTD.
This is Seraphis from the Sundering and Nazareth Power Radio, and when I'm not passed out drunk or eating a bowl full of bacon, I'm listening to Rob and Daryl give me mediocre advice to improve my Warcraft game.
All right. We are talking about lore this week. So where to get started? I guess the story from 90 to 100, because yeah, it's been a while since we've done a lore show, so we kind of need updated here on what has happened.
Okay. Well, what happened in Azeroth? I don't know. Something, maybe. Vol'jin's war chief. That's cool, I guess.
Basic campfire took over.
Then there were some guys who came through a portal, and now I'm on another planet. That's the same planet I went to when I was level 60, but it's not. And you know, the thing is that honestly, I'll stop being sarcastic for a second. The leveling story is actually a lot of fun, and it's really well done in places, and the garrison works really well for it, because the garrison turns it into missions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just. Some people like this and some people hate it. Some people like to be the wandering adventurer. They don't want to be in charge. They don't want to be the commander. Mm-hmm. But if you like the commander storyline, then this is a really good way to implement it. And in terms of, like, you know, I've done both Horde and Alliance now. There's some bells and whistles that are different, but both they're basically the same when you come right down to it. The story itself is of you basically building a military force out of nothing. Because you've got whatever you brought through, like whatever survived this original suicide mission. And the suicide mission itself is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The original run through the portal, it's got its upsides and its downsides. But I think overall it hangs together pretty well. If you ignore the glaring problem of why do we let Gul'dan out? I mean, does my character somehow not know who that guy is? Like, is there some way I don't know not to let the sneering green... Scut spikes coming out of his back orc who's in the Shadow Council, and they flat out tell you they're the Shadow Council? Like, couldn't I, like, we have to close the portal, we have to keep them from using Goldon's battery. Couldn't stabbing him help? I gotta think stabbing him would do something. Have we tried stabbing? I've got so many swords in the bank. I will go to the bank, I will get all my swords, and we can put them all in him. I am positive that's at least worth a shot. No, just let him loose. You sure that's you want to? I have axes. We could try cut. No, mace. No. All right. Here you go. This isn't going to backfire at all. Spectacularly.
No, not at all.
So if you ignore that, but you know, I get why they did it. You know, I understand the concept. It's just that, quite frankly, I would have liked it better if somebody else had done it, and then I would have been like, "You idiot! Did you seriously do that?" Because now I'm the idiot. I'm the guy that seriously did that. Like, I'm not dumb. Wilfred, like, couldn't Wilfred Fizzlebang let him out? I mean, so just, you know, now I feel like a jerk. It's like, it almost immediately comes to bite you in the butt. It's like, it doesn't even wait. You're like level 94. You're like, oh, and we have to find out what happened to Gul'dan. Like, yeah, the Gul'dan. That is a, you told me to let him out. I didn't want to let him out. I wanted to go with the stabbing plan, Khadgar. So, but in terms of what happens, basically you assemble your fighting force, you take the fight to the Iron Horde, you successfully push them back, and I think that's possibly when things start to go bad. Like, from 90 to 100, the story is very effective and it makes sense, and you march through the zones, and each zone has its climactic moment. Like, for me, Talador's climactic moment is obviously the blowing up the ship with a cinematic. There's a climactic moment in Spires of Arrak when you finally deal with the Arakoa and you help the Exiles. And actually, it's a really good climactic moment, in my opinion. Spires of Arrak, I think, is one of the best zones I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, I wish they'd take that weird Iron Horde diversion out of it. Like, you run into, like, Blade Fist really fast, and it's like, who cares? You know, this doesn't have anything to do with the Arakoa. Let's get back to that story. The Arakoa story itself is really well done. It's really interesting. You deal with, like, it hints at stuff, but doesn't actually come out and say it. Like, what's the deal with all the Titan looking stuff? Like, mm-hmm. with their, you know, big crystal robots they have, and the laser beam sun focusing stuff. It there's a lot of stuff there. The Apexis civilization is hinted at, but you don't really get to see it. That's really well done. But you go to Negrand, and on Horde, it makes perfect sense. The Horde storyline works fine. It makes sense to me that it happens the way it does. You hook up with Draka, and you go in and you fight Garrosh till a certain point, and then Thrall shows up because, you know, that's, I'm used to that. Thrall does that. When he does it to you as an alliance, it feels like a huge thumb jammed straight up your nether regions. It's like, what are you doing here? We don't need you. Thanks. I got this. I got this handled. No, you're gonna have your little mech Bora. Great. Okay. Yeah. Let's have that cutscene. That bugged me when I played through it. But it is a good climactic moment. It does at least, you know, it does kind of say, you know, here's why Garrosh won't be showing up in any of the raids, because you know that happened. I'm not gonna say it just in case someone somehow is not spoiled on it.
Oh no,
you don't care? All
right,
no, good.
Let's just disclaimer this right now. If you aren't interested in spoilers, then you're in the wrong place. So.
Spoilers from a year ago.
Yeah. So when Garrosh gets his lightning enema, and you know, it's no more.
Yeah.
That moment, it's a good climactic moment. It also does work well as a kind of capstone to the zone. And Negrand actually has a lot more story besides that too. It's got all the Heimal stuff. It's got all the Dark Naru thing underneath Ashagun. All that stuff's there. The Pale are there. That's all, in my opinion, really well done. When you start, the problem is that by the time you get to level 100, you go into Heimal. The first guy you kill in Heimal is Blade Fist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, that's a warlord, and he's dead. The first fight of the expansion, you kill one of the warlords.
Mm-hmm. You kill one in a dungeon, don't you?
You kill Nerzul in a dungeon, but quite frankly, Nerzul is clearly the warlord who doesn't want to be there the most. This is the guy who's like, wait, no, I guess I have to, because they're gonna beat me up if I don't. I actually felt bad for Nerzul, because this is a dude who's actually in a complete no-win position, where if he doesn't go along with them, they'll kill his people. If he does go along with them, he'll turn his people into monsters. And he doesn't really He's like, well, better we be monsters than dead, I guess. That's his choice. He chose life over his principles. And I get it. That's a choice, you know, that's a hard one to ask somebody. Not only is Nurzul's option to get himself killed, but his people. And, you know, it's great that I feel bad for Rulkan, too, and I understand her choice. This is a no-win situation. But Kargath being the first raid boss makes no sense. Because, it's like, are we trying to build these guys up as threats, or are we trying to make us snicker at them? Because yeah. I just punked him. I just killed him after he goes on a 10-minute speech about how he's like the best gladiator ever and he's going to kick my butt. And that's the first guy we killed. It's not even like, you know, they made Imperator Martok there the end boss of the raid because, you know, he's the king of the ogres, and I get that. But he's not in the Iron Horde. He's their quote-unquote ally. And we don't even find that out until the short story that comes out, like, you know, almost half a year after the expansion started. So we had no idea what we were even doing there other than, you know, ogres are acting dodgy. So we go in, we take these guys out, and we've just put one of the warlords down first thing we did. Then you go on to Blackrock Foundry, and at least he's the end boss, but then we take Blackhand out. Like,
mid-expansion.
Yeah, but by this point, we haven't even, you know, we don't even know at this point when we're going to see the next stuff. If you're doing the Garrison campaign, around this time, you kill Azuka Blade Fury. So that's another three down, and she's the one that you didn't even know was a warlord, because she doesn't show up anywhere else. You only find out she's a warlord through doing stuff. And you've just killed her, and Grom Hellscream turned and rode away. He didn't stand up and fight you. He just left. It was like, I'll get you next time. Like, are you Dr. Claw? seriously, what are you doing? You're the crazy you're Hellscream, head of the war song. Get out here and fight me. And what are you doing with that plane axe? Why did you let Garrosh use Gorhal. Why did you let Garrosh use Gorhal? He already lost to Gorhal. The guy just drops Gorhals everywhere he goes. It blew my mind, and it was such a tone shift from the level 1 to 100 thing where you're winning victories, but you're still underdogs. You're on the you're on the defensive. You're trying to get your forces up, and you're trying to deal with like the Sargeri at the same time.
Mm.
So you got these two forces you're trying to deal with at once, and that was all fine. Then at level 100, the Iron Horde falls apart so fast. It was just, what is going on here? And I don't. The thing is that the Blizzard themselves came out and said that they originally weren't going to do a Hellfire Citadel the way they did it. They originally weren't going to have it be like, you know, the way it is. The fights that we get are not what they originally intended. There's obviously a sea change. There's obviously some point where they decided, instead of Grom being the end boss of this expansion, why don't we make it Gul'dan? And then really it's Archimonde, because Gul'dan you don't even fight. And on the one hand, that's genius. It's genius to have the Legion come back. It's genius to show that stuff keeps happening the same way, one way or the other. But on the other hand, you built up expectations and then you dash them expertly, sir. Well done. You've totally made me not even remotely afraid of these guys. Am I supposed to be afraid of Gul'dan now? When Gul'dan got beat by these guys in the cinematic and I just spent less than 6 months mopping the floor with them? Like, I'm not even there's no stakes here. I haven't lost yet. I the closest I came to a defeat was after I successfully blew up the gate you were going to use to invade my planet. I retreated to a safe place. I did my objective and escaped you. That's the closest we get to you ever winning anything. And that, to me, is the biggest problem with the lore of this expansion. There are no stakes. There's no... Do you ever feel afraid of the Iron Horde? I'm not saying, like, you, like, you know, wake up in the middle of the night with having nightmares, but, like, your character, like, seriously, have you, like, is there any point where you think, wow, these guys are badass, and it's going to take everything we got to stop them?
They felt like a nuisance from the beginning, really.
It's just, and it wouldn't, it would have been so easy to set them up as actual, like, dangers. And here's what you would have had to do in a nutshell. You walk into Heimal, and you don't fight Kargath till the end, and he kicks your butt.
Mm-hmm.
Kargath flat out flattens you. The last fight of Heimal is you running away from Kargath. You know, I know we've done this once already. You know, we did it with the Lich King. We had a fight where we all run away from the Lich King. But quite frankly, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to rip off other games, and they do all the time. You might as well rip off your own stuff when it works. And it did. Running away from the Lich King was one of the better dungeon experiences of that expansion because it set up, oh yeah, this guy's actually hard. We're going to need a bigger boat. I mean, than the flying boat we just used to blow up the rocks. We actually need a bigger boat than that.
Well, that really could have set the tone for the rest of the expansion, too, because, like we were saying earlier, we got basically, like, I don't know. I feel like two raid tiers, you know, I know that Heimal and Foundry were supposedly the same tier. So, I mean, it could have set them up to maybe do a little more with raiding.
Yeah. Obviously, like, you know, if you're going to have us go into Blackrock Foundry after Heimal, Heimal is tangential at best. It's their ogre allies. Yeah. Has any group ever, you know, given you less chills than a group of ogres? You know, ogres are big, dumb guys. Having one of them be really smart at the end doesn't really change the fact that I just spent, you know, half an hour clearing my way through the biggest, dumbest guys imaginable.
Yeah.
This is what it must be like for gnomes to constantly go to, like, dungeons with humans in them. Like, oh, great, big idiots. Oh, really big idiots. Great.
Well, I know they do their Fisher Prize My First Raid every tier, you know,
yeah, that's, they did that in Mists. Mists had their, you know, Mists actually had, in its first tier of raiding, it actually had four raids. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, Mogoshan. Well, there was three, right? Mogoshan, Terrace, the Klaxi one.
Yeah, Mogoshan, Terrace of Endless Spring, and the Heart of Fear. But Heart of Fear goes straight into Terrace. Like, you go from Heart of Fear to Terrace. And the thing about that is, like, when you do the Empress encounter in Heart of Fear, that leads you straight up to, oh, we just made things worse. We didn't win at all. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about in terms of setting up some tension. There's actual tension going into that. And then when you go to the Isle of Thunder, I mean, it's a tangential raid. It's got nothing to do with, like, the end of the expansion, but it doesn't feel tangential. It feels like a real menace. It feels like this, okay, the Mogu are finally here in force. We're going to have to deal with this. And you can do that by setting up some actual defeats. You don't have to win every time. I really think that this is the problem. As much as I do like the whole commander thing, and I do like being respected and being, like, more than just Grunt A, who, you know, going on poop quests, although, you know, they're always going to give you poop quests. I mean, come on. But you can't have everything go our way all the time. You know? I mean, one of the greatest moments, going back again to Wrath, one of the greatest moments is the last fight of the expansion when you die. If you successfully complete the encounter, you die. You're there dead. I mean, granted, it gets kind of ridiculous after a while. Like, the 20th time you killed the Lich King and you still have to, like, right, here comes that again. But the first time it happened, because people didn't know about it.
Yeah.
I screamed. Yeah. I screamed when that happened because I thought we just screwed up. I didn't know we just killed the Lich King. I was like, oh my God! What is happening? Why can't we do this?
That's hilarious.
Like, oh, Matt, calm down. Like, oh. Wait, what, we won? That's how we won? Really? Oh, now I feel better. Woo! But, you know, I honestly feel like the problem is, like, persistent all expansion, where it's really felt with them feeling this easy, people are like, you know, there's a constant refrain of, why are we even here? Because people don't feel like there was any real menace to Azeroth in the first place. Imagine if, like, when we came through the portal the first time, the goal wasn't to just blow it up and you know, do the best we could. What if we thought this was going to be an easy go through and stomp them, and then we were turned into running for our lives and barely able to take the portal down in time?
Mm-hmm.
Then it would have felt tense. But we did too well, and we started off doing too well, And 1 through, like, 90 through 100 felt kind of on the edge, but still we did too well. And then 100, we just did way too well. And that's the problem. There needs to be, like, you know, going to Cataclysm, you know, Deathwing would just come along and randomly kill you. He would just fly over and kill you. Mm-hmm. It didn't take anything for him to do it. He didn't even have to stop. He's like, you were nothing. You weren't even a bag of poop that he would be inconvenienced by stepping on, because he's just going to fly over you and kill you with fire. And as much as that seems like weird, it sets up that this guy is ridiculous and he will kill you. You know, go ahead and get 25 people together. It's not going to help, because he'll just kill you instantly. He can just burn, you know, what's to stop him? He did it before. That set up some, you know, at least he felt dangerous. If anything, you know, Deathwing's biggest problem was A, he's too involved in the 1 to 60 stuff, so that feels weird. Mm-hmm. But B, you know, he felt too much like a kaiju. Like, Deathwing felt like Godzilla. So there's no real tension, because Godzilla doesn't have aims and goals. Godzilla just comes around, stomps on things, and leads. You can't really fight Godzilla unless you are actually another 500-foot-tall monster. If you are not, then you are not important to Godzilla, you know? And that was the problem with Deathwing. Here, the problem is the complete opposite. There's no fear of these guys. There's, you know, I really feel like the biggest problem of the whole thing, too, was that bit where Grom Hellscream, war chief of the Iron Horde, looks me in the eye and then turns and runs away. Sure, he sauntered away. He didn't, like, book it. He just turned and sauntered away. But it's still, no, he should have attacked me. He should have attacked me, and he should have kicked my butt. He should have stomped me into the ground. I should have been like, oh, wow. Oh, this was a mistake. And maybe Khadgar could have shown up and rescued me with a port, and we could have, like, boogied away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guys I led to the gates get stomped, but, you know, then he, like, leaves because he's going to stay there and keep stomping people. No, that, at least, it would have felt like, okay, we need a new plan. That's not going to work just showing up. Man, I talk a lot.
No, that's why we asked you to come on the show. So, you seem to be pretty okay with the way the Garrosh was letting go.
I wouldn't say that. What I would say was that I think we should have killed him. Like, I think that the raid fight should have been us killing him. Mm-hmm. I think it's really strange that Garrosh then – it's like – it felt like a very jarring that we went from a very – I don't want to say – a pretty classic Warcraft story of, you know, fighting a dude and beating him militarily to – and then he time-traveled. You know, it's just
– yeah.
It didn't it's I love time travel stories. I love alternate universe stories. One of my favorite books is The Third Level by Jack Finney, which is, like, you know, all about weird time travel and alternate universe stuff. I got no problem with that. Philip K. Dick's The Man in the High Castle, all of it. Mm-hmm. My problem with this expansion wasn't that it was an alternate timeline or, you know, 30 years in the past of an alternate timeline. My problem with this expansion was purely the lack of real connection. We had a lot of story beats going in. Like, at the end of that expansion, the Horde was in disarray. After, you know, after, like, the end of Wrath and all of Cataclysm and all, you know, most of Mists, the Alliance has gone from the faction that the Horde beat up at will. Because if you look at Cataclysm Revamp, the Horde beats up the Alliance at will throughout the entire world. Any place where the Horde and Alliance come into conflict, the Horde wins. Straight up. The Horde wins every fight that they have with the Alliance. Until, I guess, Camp T, okay, yeah, Camp T gets burned. Woo! You know, the Horde lost one fight, and it was the Tauren town that, you know, nobody wanted in the first place.
Yeah.
That's the one fight they lose. But otherwise, Horde pretty much takes care of the Alliance every time, all the way through Cataclysm. And Mr. Pandaria doesn't look to be any different. They're fighting, blah, blah. Then you get to this huge change in the status quo. At the end of the expansion, the Horde is in disarray. The orcs... Who knows what shape the orcs are in? The trolls are now in charge. The trolls can't really rule without the Tauren backing them. Quite frankly, the Tauren are the muscle who are backing the trolls up. The Forsaken are in this position of, you know, Sylvanas can now literally do anything she wants, because who's going to stop her? The brand new war chief? who doesn't even have the control over the Horde yet.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, the Alliance has just beaten the Horde. Granted, again, they did so because the Horde helped them. You know, it was a civil war. This isn't a straight up 1-on-1 fight, but the Alliance is still in the you know, the pole position here. They're on top. They won. Their capital city did not just get burned. Their war chief did not just get deposed. Varian is standing in Orgrimmar with Alliance troops, and he decides, no, we're not going to have another war. I'm going to use negotiation. And there's this little thing where afterwards Tyrande's like, yeah, apparently the Horde's going to give us back Ashenvale, and we're going to chill out. And I'm sitting there going, show me this. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, show me this. Show me what, you know, do something with this. And instead, we go to another planet? I mean, I get that, yes, they attacked us, so we have to deal with it. But, you know, it did not have anything to do with what we were just doing. There's a big disconnect there. And I honestly feel like that really is why Garrosh feels out of place. Because, you know, War Crimes is one of my favorite Warcraft novels. It's a really well-written Warcraft novel. Mm-hmm. If you haven't read it, I do recommend it. And keep in mind, I'm pretty hard to please. Like I just mentioned Philip K. Dick 5 minutes ago. But this one's really well done. You get a really good look at Sylvanas. And then you get to the end and, you know, what they should have done was they should have ended it the same way and then do Legion and leave that expansion to happen some other time. Like, Garrosh is out there somewhere and someday he'll come back with his army of crazy time orcs. And meanwhile, burning Legion. Now, I get the sense that they didn't have Legion ready to go and they just kind of had to go with what they had. Mm-hmm. I get that sense, but I am speaking purely as a guy who you know, writes about the game. I have no knowledge of this. No one at Blizzard has come to me and said, psst, yeah, we totally weren't ready. It's just yes.
Don't but, tell me.
Yeah, Legion feels very much like it was what they wanted to do. Because, you know, all throughout the expansion, Rathian's like, we have to get ready, we have to get ready, we have to get ready. In fact, he got kind of annoying about it, really.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come down to it, then we go off to another planet. And that's just, it doesn't thematically fit. That's my biggest problem with Garrosh's fate. Plus, I'll be honest with you, I didn't want him dead. Because he's just too good as a villain. He's got too much potential as a villain. You know, and we don't, it's too easy to lose good villains in Warcraft. To the point where we just saw that they're jumping through some pretty big cartwheels to bring Illidan back.
Mm, yeah.
Now, granted, half demon, so I'm willing to accept that whole, you know, demons don't die unless they're another thing, blah, blah, Illidan's back. But it still is the case of them jumping through some pretty big hoops to do it. And in this case, Garrosh could have been a menace for years to come. And he could have been, the thing is, he's the best kind of villain. He thinks he's right, and he really wants to help his people. Like, they're important to him. He wants to do right by them. And that's the best kind of villain because you can't just talk him out of it. You know, he's got like a moral conviction that this is the right thing to do. And that's great. You want that for your bad guy. Mm-hmm. You want your bad guy to be all, no, they've forgotten what it is to be an orc if they ever knew. I'll show you. My people won't live in a desert. My people aren't going to, like, struggle to live. They're going to be, you know, we're going to kick butt and take this planet for ourselves. Why shouldn't we? Look at the humans. They do that all the time. How many wars have they been in? Why is it bad when we do it? You know, that's great. I wanted to keep that. Let's keep that guy going. I don't want to lose that guy. Have that guy come back with, like, you know, like a bunch of time orcs. That's great. Sure. But don't do it right away. Doing it right away felt really weird. It just, this huge disconnect between these two expansions. And honestly, Mists, people really didn't seem to like Mists at the time, but everyone talks it up now.
I liked it. I don't think I ever, I mean, it wasn't without fault, but I think honestly it was, I liked it a lot more moment than I do.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Mists' biggest problem was that they dropped a ton of content. They front loaded like shotgun blasts, and then there was like what, 16 months of nothing?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's just like, oh my God, please don't ever do that again.
Well, and that's what I was starting to say. I feel like we're getting pretty close to that here now. We're getting to the point where, you know, by the time a new expansion comes out, it's going to be It's going to be, you know, close to a year since Hellfire Citadel came out.
Yeah, but I can handle that. I can't handle 16 months. And that's you know, that's the bottom line for me, at least.
Yeah.
I can handle a year. I can't handle 16 months. And I do think they need to start cutting it down so, like, the most expansions go is a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
A year per expansion is too much. That's too fast.
Yeah.
But I'm totally okay with that. In terms of, you know, in terms of lore of this expansion, the biggest problem has been that ball dropping, that moment of they set up these people to be bad, and then they didn't convince me of it. At least with Garrosh, I believed he was a bad dude. Like, you know, I'd seen what he did. He blew up the veil, man.
Yeah, Garrosh was a turd. That's why I don't know. I guess that's part of my gripe with how Garrosh went out was basically, you know, here on this mountaintop with Thrall, and they got into a pissing contest, and you know, the Garrosh was like, "You did this." Thrall's like, "No, I didn't." You know, and it was like,
"I am rubber, and you were glue."
Yeah, it was very like juvenile, and then. You know, then that was, no, all right, we're done. It's over.
I actually felt Garrosh had good points in that fight. I think he was accurate. Because if you go back and, like, actually, like, if you go back and look at old screenshots, even, of what Garrosh says when Thrall appoints him, Garrosh is like, "I don't want the job, man. Like, sir, no, man. If you want somebody killed, come to me. I am totally good at that. Mm. I don't want to be the leader. Oh, my God, no. This is a terrible idea." Thrall's like, "No, you'll mature into it." Karen comes over. Dude, this is a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. "No, it'll be fine. He'll mature into it." Then Karen's dead. I guess he's not going to mature into it, but I totally appointed him. And I have to talk to Dirt now. It's very important for this expansion that I go talk to Dirt. So just work it out. My friend is dead. You know, Thrall is just, you know, I've gotten to the point where I really don't want to see any more of that guy. Nothing against him, really. Just mm-hmm. that, can we have an expansion where I don't see him? Like, just, you have a kid, you have a wife, go do that now. You go be that guy and let somebody else. Hey, let Sorfang have a heroic death. Bring him out, let him have a heroic death. That'd be great. You can come back after that. Because you're going to anyway. Also, I'm still mad Karen's dead. It's been years.
One part of the story in this I didn't understand was Grom Hellscream. Can you explain what all happened there? Because it seemed like at the end we're supposed to be fearing these guys, and he was scared of us, it almost seemed. Is that really what happened? Did I get that right?
No, what happened with Grom was fairly simple. They decided at some point they weren't going to make him the bad guy. After they'd already made him the bad guy.
Yeah.
And after he'd already committed genocide and unleashed armies on the world. And granted, he was being somewhat misled by Garrosh. He didn't know the full story. But when they decided to make him do his heel face turn, they kind of forgot that it's not believable unless we actually see some stuff like repentance and consequences and such. And we don't really get that because there's not enough time in Hellfire Citadel for that. Like, Grom, you know, you watch the Hellfire Citadel trailer and he's all, "They've defeated everything I placed in front of them." It's like, yeah, should you be happy about that? Because if we hadn't, you wouldn't be in goo chains right now. And Gul'dan would still be offering his nasty green Kool-Aid to any orc who'd walk by.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? And seriously, Gul'dan, did you just have that cup the whole time? Did you go back and just scoop the cup up and be like, you know, wandering around going to everybody, "Here, drink this. Come on, somebody drink it. I worked really hard on this, man. I had to summon a demon for this. Drink it." So you have Grom doing his thing. You know, if you played through the Garrison campaign, he pretty much destroyed everything and was completely terrible. And, you know, if you, especially if you're Alliance, he killed your, he killed, oh man, I can't remember his name. Barriss Alexton. You know, because of Garrosh's actions, Barriss Alexton died, and Lieutenant Thorne, your werewolf major domo, is real mad.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to the actual raid, and you free him from the tree, and he's all, you know, "We will free our planet." And meanwhile, I'm thinking, dude, you're the reason this happened. Like, straight up, if you just killed Gul'dan, Then again, of course, I'm not one to talk, really.
You let him go. It's so hard to,
why is it so hard to kill that guy? I know, it's weird. You want to kill him. You really do. But then he's like just, I don't know, he's real charming. Yeah, he's real, surprisingly. The guy tells a great dinner party story. He really does. He's sitting there in the chains floating and telling me stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you make sense, Golda. No, kill him. So, yeah, you go through that whole thing and, you know, Grom is basically like, you know, we are free now. And the Draenei don't turn and smash him with hammers, which goes to show you the Draenei really are just saints. They're just the nicest people in the universe. Because you know a whole lot of hands were clenching up on a whole lot of hilts at that point. And then Urel was like, no, we can't just kill him. Why? Could you explain it to us, please? We're the good guys, and we can't just bash this guy with hammers now that the fighting's over. But isn't he at fault? Yes, he is. But we can't just murder him in cold blood now. Can't we please? Can one of us go rogue and kill him in cold blood? I vote me. If Murad were here, he'd have already done it. There's no real surprise to it. It's just the result of them basically trying to pull, for lack of a better word, what I'm calling the third issue switch.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, you know, Grom is now not the ultimate bad guy. It's now Archimonde. So we kind of have to just accept that Grom is, like, there. And even though he was the war chief of the Iron Horde throughout most of the atrocities it committed, we kind of have to go, well, his kid from another timeline came and kind of misled him a little bit. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. So you have here, I think that was you that put this in here, why Archimonde?
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, I put that in there.
Why, yeah. In terms of why is he the boss of this expansion?
Yeah, like, so I've how followed did, yeah, the story to some degree.
How did they land on him?
But yeah, so
okay,
carry on.
Okay. Well, if you actually, like, if you pay attention, like, it was actually Kil'jaeden who was working with Gul'dan at first, even in this timeline. It was Kil'jaeden who Gul'dan was working for. Mm-hmm. But when Gul'dan failed to get the orcs on board with the whole blood drinking thing, Archimonde took over, saying that, you know, there's actually, like, if you're doing the Talador stuff, you actually can find, like, an artifact that, like, will play Archimonde saying, it's a video clip of him, sort of, like, it does a big image of him and everything, and he's like, you know, Kil'jaeden, your plan has failed, I'm taking over. And it's like, you know, I don't know why he gets to do that, the two of them are equal, but whatever. Archimonde takes over and is basically, like, Gul'dan, you work for me now, and if you don't want me to kill you, you'll do exactly as I say. And Gul'dan's like, yeah, okay, one demon's as good as another to me, man. I'm not picky. So that's ultimately the reason that Archimonde is the end boss, is because Archimonde is taking the direct approach, just like he did on Azeroth. Remember when he came through on Azeroth? Archimonde is the guy that does that. He's the guy that does the direct approach. Kil'jaeden hates to do the direct approach. That's why when he did Sunwell, he made a point of saying, you know, I will do what Sargeras could not. Because it's rare for him to take direct action. Usually, in situations like this, it's like the point in Warcraft 3 where Arthas has Kel'Thuzad summon Archimonde. Archimonde is usually the guy who comes through to lead Burning Legion armies because that's his job.
Right.
Kil'jaeden is the set-up deceptive guy. Archimonde is the war guy, and this is war. And the whole point of Archimonde showing up on Draenor to get everyone together was because their next step was through the portal into Azeroth. Draenor was just a staging route. So that's why it's Archimonde, because he's about to lead the invasion of Azeroth. That's what you're there to stop happening. Unfortunately, this is not particularly clear. Like, I only know this because I went and, like, looked at it, like, six times. Like, there's they say it in the game, but it's easily lost.
Mm-hmm.
I think there should actually be some quests that straight up say, you know, we've got to stop them. This, you know, they're about to step through into Azeroth, like, a lot more plainly. Because people don't seem to have gotten it. But that's the reason it's Archimonde is because, A, this isn't – at this point, this is a Legion invasion force. And, B, their next step is Azeroth. And here's the thing that gets me is I don't know which Azeroth they're going to. Like, because I don't know at that point where that portal is going, because they rebuilt the Dark Portal. Where's it going? Mm-hmm. Like, is it going to – like, is there another Azeroth for it to go to? Or is it hooked up to ours? That's never made clear to me. If there is another Azeroth, I don't think Blizzard really wanted to deal with that can of worms. Like, I don't think they wanted to, like, stop and really say to themselves, which Azeroth is going to get invaded. Because if it's not our Azeroth, do we really care? Like, you know, okay. But we care because if they conquer alternate Azeroth, then they might show up at ours with, like, you know, I don't know, Phil corrupted Arthas, and it's like, great. Oh, great. We needed that. So I don't know. But it's Archimonde because this is, at this point, a military action.
Okay.
I guess, I don't know. I guess it could have been anybody then, huh? I mean, it just seems like
Archimonde. No, it had to be Archimonde once they've decided that it was going to be a full-scale Legion invasion force. It absolutely had to be Archimonde because that's his job. And especially after Manoroth got himself killed twice. Like, oh my god, Manoroth, what are you doing? Are you drunk, Manoroth? You're drunk, aren't you?
He was drinking the green Kool-Aid. You killed the cinematic.
That was him. That's him. He's not drinking himself. If he's drinking himself, that's a problem of another world. But, you know, seriously, Manoroth fell down on the job twice this expansion. He died in a cinematic, and then he gets killed in the raid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, Manoroth. You've got problems, dude. Like afterwards, and then the other, he and Archimonde are talking. Archimonde's like, so you twice? Really? Twice? And, hey, man, look, they caught me off guard with that axe to the face thing. You're an immortal demon. No one's ever tried an axe to the face before. He jumped out of a wall of fire, man. It was new.
Good stuff.
What are your thoughts on the legendary ring?
That's cool. I mean, you know, do you mean like the lore of it?
Kind of. I guess I'm not a super fan of how the legendary went this expansion. It felt kind of generic to me, but...
Well, you know, the cape was pretty generic too, but it had some cool, you know, cool moments with Rathion and so forth that kind of made it worth it. In terms of this story in this one, to me it suffered a little bit from having Garona be involved, because I'm like, which Garona is it? How do we have a Garona? It's obviously this world's Garona, but it's like, how do they have a Garona when Garona is Marad's sister's daughter? Like, does that mean Marad's sister lives in this world, but Marad doesn't? And if that's the case, is this Garona half Orkin? Like, or is this a Garona full Orkin? Like, which version of, you know, that got all complicated real fast. I wasn't particularly interested in sitting around and trying to, like, wrestle an actual explanation out of anybody. I just said, okay, I'll just pretend that didn't happen. But in general, I think it suffered from the same problem that the Garrison quest did, where it doesn't really... I'm sorry, but when you torture someone for information, I'm always kind of, like, not interested. Like, when you torture Garona to find out where Gul'dan is.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, the whole thing just kind of felt... I had more fun with the secondary Garrison campaign that they put in for Tanan than I did with the legendary quests. I honestly just don't really. There's a lot of, like, you know, I think it's because there's a lot of get all these fragments stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like 300 of X. I don't mind, like, you'll kill this person and get a drop from them. I don't mind. Do this ridiculous thing where it involves, you know, chasing a dragon around and throwing a spear at it in order to get it to charge up the spear, and that all that stuff from the cape stuff was kind of interesting, but just collecting a whole ton of nothing never really works for me.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And that was really, really bad this expansion. Yeah, so many.
You had to get like 900 of those tablet things, and
yeah, and I felt like you could have skipped a step on that. Quite frankly,
yeah.
It didn't hurt much. So that for me, that's I still think that it's interesting, and I do think I'm not of the opinion that that's not Khadgar. I do think that is Khadgar. I think the problem is quite simple: is that Khadgar is a jerk, and he's always been a jerk. Like, he's not, like, you know. We hear the voice of Braytak, and we're like, oh, it's Braytak. No, this is Khadgar. Khadgar is a jerk, and he does jerky things. Like, he kills you at one point. Do you remember that? Like, the legendary ring kills you?
Doesn't he, like, shock the crap out of you while you're sitting there?
It actually kills you, and then he uses, like, shock to get you back up.
Yeah.
He unkills you. It's like, you know, I don't want you killing me for this ring, man. So, yeah, Khadgar is a jerk. He definitely is one of those the ends justify the means types. And it doesn't seem to matter to him that the means are completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry. Why couldn't we just... I mean, I know that you blew up the Dark Portal back in Warcraft 2 and it didn't work. So I know you're probably thinking, okay, it's not going to work to just shut the portal. We're going to have to deal with these guys. But why can't we just – I don't know. It felt like if we did so well against the Iron Horde, like when we hit 100 the first few months of it,
mm-hmm.
that there was no reason we couldn't just wipe them out instead of letting them go back into Tanan. Like, that was just mm-hmm. – if there's no Iron Horde, there's nobody for Gul'dan to corrupt. He'd be stuck with the same stupid Shadow Council Sargeri losers that he had in the first place that weren't taking over the planet or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so why did we let the Iron Horde exist long enough for him to corrupt it in the first place? That was my big problem. We took too long because there's no reason to take this long because we scythe through these guys like nothing. Like, we went through, you know, again, I really feel like if at the end of Blackrock Foundry we got our butts kicked, they would have explained a lot more.
Yeah.
If we're fighting Blackhand and he activates the self-destruct, you know, and leaves and we have to get out before the place blows up, then at least, you know, oh man, that hurt. But again, as it stood, nah, it never felt like there was any real threat. Legendary Ring Quest, in my opinion, was kind of a letdown because of that.
Where do you think we're at going into Legion then? What do we have to look forward to in terms of story and maybe hopefully picking up where some things were left off that weren't really fulfilling?
I don't know, because we know that you guys have like probably been paying attention, so you know the whole deal with like some of the artifacts are clearly artifacts that other people currently have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the whole Doomhammer and Ashbringer and so forth. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I mean, I'd be amazed if Thrall died, like straight up amazed.
Mm-hmm.
That would shock me, and I think it would be a hugely good thing for the game. If not that I want Thrall dead particularly, but can you imagine like the of it?
Yeah.
Like even cynical people like us, or at least like me, I can't talk to you guys being cynical, but cynical people like me would be like, you know, oh my god, they actually killed Thrall. Or you know, for that matter, if they do Fordring. I would be less surprised if they killed Varian, because Varian has always felt like they were going to kill him. Varian has always felt like at some point they're going to kill him off because they have Anduin just waiting there.
Right.
Like sitting there waiting to step in and get his hopes crushed as king. Like in a weird sort of way, I'd almost like to watch, you know, as Anduin realizes, no matter how nice he tries to play with the Horde, this game is called World of Warcraft, not World of Peacecraft, and you are never going to make nice with the Horde. It is not going to happen, which is weird because really, if World of Warcraft had taken up where Warcraft 3 left off, you would have expected there to be peace between the Horde and the Alliance. You know, because that's kind of the end of Warcraft 3, is the mortal races band together and fight off the Burning Shadow. And I don't think we're going to get that in Legion at all. Like, from everything that's been said, the Horde and Alliance cannot get their stuff together here. They cannot. They can't work together. They can't band together to fight the Legion. And I'm hoping that means that we lose, at least in the opening. Like, I am hoping when the launch event happens, when the pre-Legion event happens, I'm hoping we lose. It is time for us to lose. You know, it has been, like, you know, years and years of triumph. We need a beating. We need there to be stakes again. We need to see the Legion come through, and it needs to be a real threat. And we need to feel desperate. There needs to be a reason we're wandering around collecting these pillars of eternity that isn't, you know, just because. There needs to actually be like, we can't beat these guys in a straight-up fight. There's just too many of them. They have infinite numbers, and they have a big hole in the world. They can just keep pulling them through. It doesn't matter how many of them we kill. They will just have more. And they'll just keep coming back because they're demons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I kill these guys. Great. They respawn in the nether, and they just come back through the portal. So there needs to be that sense of tension, and I really hope we get it, because there needs to be like – when people are asking why are we on this planet when they're playing Warlords, what they're really asking is – what am I doing and why is it important? Because it has to be important, you know. It has to feel like there's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
And with Legion, Legion's our planet. So right away, you know, we're back on Azeroth. There's like some stakes. You know, you're connected to Azeroth. Azeroth is where you keep your stuff. Except your garrison, which is on another planet, another dimension, or whatever. I'm not sure what happens with my garrison. I'm pretty sure we're never going to go back there again. But, you know, that's my place, but it's over there. So I'm not going to worry about it. But everything else, you know, Azeroth is where you're from. It's where you're connected to. It's where you did most of your leveling. It is the, you know, having the Legion invade it makes sense. But we need for there to be stakes. We need for there to be narrative focus. I really think a big defeat that takes out a few Warcraft heroes would be a really good way to build that if they're the right heroes. I'm okay with them killing Varian. That doesn't bother me. But I don't think Varian's really a good one. Mm-hmm. I really don't want them to kill Jaina because I have no idea what Jaina is actually doing in this expansion. If it turns out the reason she's not around anymore is because she dies, that would make me pretty upset because we don't have that many, you know, female characters in the game in the first place. Losing one of the really big ones would be a problem for me. Thrall, on the other hand, I've seen enough of him, and I would be amazed. I'd be flat out astonished if they killed him. I don't think that they will, but it wouldn't bother me in the slightest. Sorfang, I would actually cry. I would cry manly tears if Sorfang died because he is the warrior, and even if you're Alliant, you have to respect Varric Sorfang. There's just no way. If you don't, then go back to warrior school because, yeah, it's the guy that once cleaved the entire continent in half and created the Sundering. If you were playing back in the days, Sorfang's cleave jokes, just they are life. So, yeah, I want to see more Sorfang. I don't think we're going to get any more of him. I think he's retired. I'm interested in seeing what they do with Sylvanas and Ghen Greymane.
Do you think they're going to pull a Game of Thrones and just wreck some important people?
I think they almost have to if they're handing out artifacts. Like, you know, if you are handing out Ashbringer, mm-hmm. Tyrion Fordring, you know, Tyrion Fordring isn't letting that thing go just because, you know?
You know, I like you.
Yeah, have it. What am I doing with it? I'm just sitting around in Hearthglen. No, I think they said some people might be dead and some people might be demoralized. I am okay with them having Thrall just be like, this is never going to end. Mm-hmm. Every time I think it's over, we end up having to go some stupid alternate universe or whatever. I'm tired. I am done. I can't. I have a kid. I have a wife. I can't do this anymore. Here, you're the hero. Take it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be okay with that. It seems a little out of character, but I'd be okay with it. But we have to see something. There has to be a changing of the guard. There has to be like a shakeup. I want to see Sylvanas come forward and do some stuff here too, because Sylvanas hasn't done much of anything since that part of Cataclysm where she like had what's his name dragged through the portal. Kul'Tira, is that who she had? She had him dragged through the portal back in.
That sounds right. I know I played that. Yeah.
Since then, you know, we haven't seen a lot of Sylvanas other than she shows up briefly at the end of Mists. I want to see Sylvanas doing some stuff and setting up that she is, you know. She is absolutely unstoppably evil, and she doesn't care. And we can, you know, work with that. I want to see like what Gen's response is, and have the Worgen Forsaken rivalry pop up. That's because that's a rivalry they set up in Kata and didn't really do a lot with. Mm-hmm. I want to see that heat up. In general, I want to see Legion pick up. The Horde went through this trauma, like the changing of the guard this time. It wasn't just Thrall deciding, I'm not war chief anymore. It was a big deal. Like, because think about it, the Horde has been primarily an orcish organization since its inception. Even if you're just playing the new Horde in World of Warcraft, that's the orcish Horde with some friends. It's orcs and they're amazing friends. And now it's not. Now the Horde is as much a troll organization or a Tauren organization or a blood elf organization. And the Blood Elves are really a much more of a part of it now because they participated in the rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they took part. That's a huge change, and that needs to be explored. What does it mean to be Horde now? Like, if you're a Horde member, if you're an orc in the Horde right now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean you're the top dog anymore, you know, because the Warchief isn't one of you. He's a troll. The trolls are possibly the least numerous race in the Horde.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're not, they're only slightly ahead of the goblins. And now they're in a position of power. And meanwhile, the Tauren are the physical backbone. Because if you look at the guards and Org right now, what are they? They're trolls.
They're trolls and little peon Org. Well, yeah. Not the guards, but yeah.
They're mostly trolls and Tauren now. The most of the guards in Org are. And that's, you know, it's like Orgrimmar is now what Undercity was after Battle for Undercity. It's essentially an occupied city.
Mm-hmm.
It's ruled by outsiders. It is not the Orc capital anymore. Oh, that's, think about how big that is. The Orcs have gone from the race that came through the portal to conquer Azeroth to living in internment camps to freed by Thrall and to becoming the ascendant power of the new Horde under Garrosh to now, what are they? What are they in the Horde? What does it mean to be an Orc there? What does it mean to be a Tauren there? When you're like thinking, should we even be here? Like, but now you have to stay because now without you, the new world order you just created falls apart. I mean, and for the trolls, it's like they're on top, but you know, you have to deal with Sylvanas.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with the goblins who are incredibly mercenary. You have to deal with your ancient enemies. That's the thing. The Blood Elves and the trolls are ancient enemies. They fought multiple wars. Granted, it wasn't these trolls, but still, Blood Elves ain't thrilled to be hanging out with trolls.
Mm-hmm.
Never have been. Back when they were high elves, you know, Zulaman's still right there. You know, they still remember. Mm-hmm. All this stuff is there, and it's like, I'm hoping Legion can touch on it without making it. Obviously, it's not going to be the focus because huge Burning Legion invasion, but this is the stuff that actually makes playing Horde to me worthwhile. Like, I have Horde characters. I raided primarily as Horde and Cataclysm. I don't hate the Horde. People often think I do because I'm a Draenei fanboy, and I get that. But it's not – I don't love the Alliance. I love Draenei, and then to a lesser extent, Worgen. I think they're awesome. But in terms of, like, the Horde actually had – for a long time, the Horde had the way more compelling story. And right now, the Horde has the more compelling story hooks, but we haven't seen anything done with them. And for that matter, the Alliance finally actually has some good hooks. Because right now, what on Azeroth can actually stand against the Alliance if they really decide to fight it? If the Alliance comes together as a military force, they know they can beat the Horde right now. The Horde is disorganized. The Horde just went through a civil war. The Horde just had its capital city sacked. The Horde is not in a position to fight the Alliance. And their most powerful war leader just went off to some alien planet. Of course, the Alliances did too, but you know, we got plenty of those guys. There's stuff. Legion has a lot of potential, like really a ton of it. I'm very hopeful that they will actually use some of these story hooks. I mean, granted, though, the thing is, we're going to be in the Broken Isles, so how much of that are we going to get to see? I don't know, but we got to see a lot of it when we were on Pandaria. You know, so less than Pandaria, I'm expecting, because I don't expect the end boss of Legion is going to be Varian. That would be messed up. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Well, no, but, I don't think so. But
that being said, in fact, I'll be honest with you. I think it's likely Varian will be dead or incapacitated well before that happens. I do think that. I think their focus on Anduin means they're going to talk about Anduin. Anduin's story is going to move forward. So, what does that ultimately mean for Azeroth? I don't know. But in terms of what Legion does. I know there's going to be demons coming through portals. I know we're going to end up fighting the Emerald Nightmare. I know we're going to have a whole new race of elves to kill, which is like, yay, more elves to wipe out, I guess, with the Nightborn and Suramar. I'm interested in that. But I really want them to pick up the loose threads that they dropped at the very end of Mists. Because, man, it has been – at this point, it's been like a year and a half. I guess it's been 2 years, really, hasn't it? Because this expansion came out a year ago.
This expansion came out in
November. I think it was November. Yeah, it was November 11th, wasn't it? No, because BlizzCon was 11th. It was the 17th. It was 1 week after BlizzCon last year.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So almost a year ago. Yep.
So then the end of that was – so it's been 2 years basically because the last patch of Mists pretty much set up everything, and then that was a year before we had anything. So yeah, it's been 2 years since then, and we don't know – we know very little. We know that Vol'jin is in charge, and that's about it.
Well, you saw him in those little, you know, the, oh, you've upgraded your garrison. There's a big close-up of of Vulgin's nipples while he tells you that you've got a...
Well, it's very important you get to look at those, man.
Yeah, but somebody worked hard on those, I'm sure, but...
They did, man. The character model revamp.
But it was, I mean, it was him going, all right, good job, Mon. You gotta go and, you know, listen to Bob Marley now. Okay, I don't really... There was no Vulgin in this expansion, really.
No, you just know he's there.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like somebody was kind of confused, maybe, when some of this... You know, they said they had Legion and Warlords on the table at the same time. They weren't sure which they were going to do first. And I don't know if Legion was just part of the story that they wanted to tell to get out of the way. But I don't want to go... Or I'm sorry, Warlords. But I don't want to go into Legion thinking, like, Warlords could have never have happened and we would have been just better off for it, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, obviously, Gul'dan is involved, and I am actually completely okay with the fact that they went. If the legacy of Warlords is that we got Gul'dan back for a while,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with it. That's fine because Gul'dan is the best Warcraft villain because he is just so cartoonishly evil.
Yeah,
he's just ridiculous with his cup of goo that he will carry around to every meeting until someone drinks it. Like, seriously, he is that guy's like, smell this. Does this smell like it's going bad? Of course it's going bad. It's demon blood. You just try some. Tell me if it's okay.
Awesome. Daryl, did you have any other...
Oh, probably, but I can't think of anything right now.
I know a few people mentioned a couple questions on Twitter and stuff, but I don't think they were actually questions rather than like wanting us to talk in a certain direction and somebody talking about weapons and you had mentioned those earlier when we were talking about the artifact stuff and, yeah. and what you wanted out of Titan's Grip and whatnot, but I think that was pretty much it. We wanted to mainly just cover, you know, what's happened this expansion and where we're at and maybe what we had to look forward to, but
I rambled, so.
No, I think we did a pretty good job with that. And I think that unless you had anything else, Matthew, that you wanted to cover.
I think I've pretty much covered it. I mean, basically my point is just that Warlords had potential and it had an interesting story beats. And man, I'll say this right now again because I really feel it's important. Spires of Arrak was really great. It was just a great zone. And I felt like the best parts of Warlords were the stuff that was only tangential to the Iron Horde. Like, the Iron Horde itself wasn't all that interesting, but man, the Pale in the Grand, the entire Spires of Arrak storyline, the weird goo in Spires of Arrak that might hook back to like to the Red Mist from original Warcraft stuff. There's a lot of really neat, interesting stuff in this expansion. And, you know, I feel it's just like there was some pacing mistakes and some content mistakes. Like, the pacing of the Garrison quest just wiped out a lot of tension. The pacing of, you know, having the Warlords beaten so easily, just not even easily, just so much as so fast. Like, having Nurzul, like, get killed in a dungeon, huge mistake. Huge mistake to lose Nurzul that fast. He shouldn't have even been in there. He should have been his lackeys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they could have had, you know, Fremunda or whatever, you know, some randomly named person and some dialogue about Nurzul. I don't understand why one of the Warlords was just stuffed into this dungeon.
Yeah, honestly, the thing is that if it worked for Nurzul as the end boss of the Shadowmoon Valley story, but the problem there is if you play primarily Horde, you didn't see the Shadowmoon Valley story, so you have no idea what's going on. Like, why is he even here? Why am I fighting him? What's the build-up? Well, there was a huge amount of build-up that you didn't see because you're not Alliance. That to me, that was like a mistake too. I mean, I get that you have to like split out the Horde and Alliance stuff, and that's fine. I have no problem with that, but I really feel like Nurzul got frankly, he got fridged. He got jammed in a refrigerator way too early, and he should have definitely kept around, and I honestly don't think any. I don't think at most we should have lost one Warlord by the end of the first major raiding patches, not all of them. one of them. Like, if one of them died, like, just the one from the Garrison campaign, and quite frankly, I don't even want you to kill her, because she's the only bloody woman in the entire squad.
Mm-hmm.
You've got one woman orc warlord and you lose her. It's like, you guys really need to seriously stop doing this. It's starting to get ridiculous. But the whole thing where the warlords are gone before you even get to Hellfire, they should have all been in Hellfire.
Yeah.
Like, they should have been at least five bosses in Hellfire that were the warlords, all corrupted now. And, like, you know, wouldn't that be awesome? Like, you go in and you fight Ner'zhul as this giant, like, fell shadow boss. They even have a fell shadow boss in Hellfire. Just make that guy Ner'zhul. You know, it blows my mind every time I think about how much we wasted that. That drives me nuts. That is a huge wasted moment.
Absolutely. That's terrible.
Makes sense. Okay. Well, if I don't have anything else and no one else has anything else, I guess we'll start wrapping up. If you have anything to add to this topic or have questions about future topics, please feel free to send us an email at the show at thetrainingdummies.com or leave us a voicemail at thetrainingdummies.com. It don't matter that you're out of town. He's got some shadows to send over. So let's turn it all around and scoot in a little bit closer. I just want to you send love. Alright, I see that someone has deleted my list of Henlove shoutouts in here, but I'm pretty sure I can get them all on the fly. we've got our guildies in Hadwan Job on the Deathwing server, as well as our raid team, Team Crab Dick. Is that all I usually get? And of course, Matt Rossi for coming on the show this evening and filling us in on this past expansion and the lore that went along with it. So thank you, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. I feel like you've done me a favor here, so whatever. Like, if not, I would just be sitting alone by myself muttering the same stuff.
Well, I know it was short notice. I had just emailed you a couple of days ago, so I really appreciate the quick reply and just being able to schedule this with us.
No problem. No one will ever accuse me of not talking. If anything, you know. My other podcast gigs, the big thing is to stop myself from talking. It's like, oh God, shut up so someone else can speak.
Well, good. Then it's good to have you on here to let you do your thing and not have to try to put a muzzle on it. We appreciate that. And I know a lot of people were pretty hyped when we said that you were going to be on tonight. So,
well, thank you.
Awesome. Do you have any shout outs or hand love that you'd like to send out?
I don't think I'm allowed to send any hand love. I'm like, my wife might not approve. I should say something nice about my wife, who allowed me to do this in the middle of the night. I love you, honey. Happy birthday. It was her birthday yesterday.
Awesome.
I don't know. Should I mention my books? I mean, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, absolutely. We can even we can drop the links in the show notes and everything too. So if people are interested, we'll.
If you want to go to, if you feel like spending like a few bucks for Kindle books, I have two on Amazon. Bottle Demon and At Last Atlantis. They're basically, if you read the KYL columns we write, they're kind of like that, but sort of based on like the world that we actually live in and not Azeroth. And they use like, pretty much anything I come across, like, actual novels, Reader's Digest stuff, like, Mysteries of the Pharaohs type stuff. Like, I actually will take that seriously for an essay, and it freaks people out. They're like, oh my God, he took that seriously. No, I understand it's bullshit, but that's the point. It's just fun. It's kind of like what if games where you actually answer the what if. You don't just ask it and then, suddenly switch in the middle and suddenly it's the Burning Legion. And it's like, what? Sorry, I'm never getting over that.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead. I like the books and, maybe hopefully you'll like them too.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yep. Well, before we wrap this up, can you let us know where to reach you if we have any other questions?
Well, yeah, I'm on Twitter. I don't actually know my Twitter thing. What is my Twitter thing? Matthew W. Rossi. Yeah, that's it. At Matthew W. Rossi. And I'm at Blizzard Watch. I do, you know, the Warrior column and lore column there. And, you know, so Blizzard Watch is, you know, I don't want to get into the late unpleasantness, but it's basically the continuation of the place I worked before that I can't mention.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we came through that, and you know, it's a community sort of supported site. So basically it's you guys telling us that what we do has value, which is really cool. And we all appreciate it. It's BlizzardWatch, all one word, .com. And, you know, it's not just me. It's pretty much the whole gang. So if you're, you know, looking for any of them, there they are. And that's basically it. That's where you can find me.
Well, I would say that that does it for episode 110 of the Training Dummies. You can find this and our past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.